That's where you separate out the, what I call the fundamental core religious teaching from issues such as artificial contraception, marriage equality, those sex and gender issues. I still, as a believing and practicing Catholic, and I'm conscious that I'm working with and worshipping with tremendously good people, still a lot of people going to Mass. They say it's down to about 40%. 78, I think, was the figure on the census in Ireland. I think in terms of Mass on Sundays, it's somewhere around a third to, I think, 40%. That's still high relative to, compared to other countries. Making the point that I see that we still are very religious in the sense of that we're people who still believe that there is a loving God, that there is meaning to life. We still encounter Jesus Christ, the risen Christ. When we go to Mass, I go to a daily Mass quite often with about 80 to 100 people. Now, I know that a lot of them are senior citizens like myself. But the goodness is there, that fundamental faith, and people want to pray and to give thanks and to worship. That's still there. So we have to try to be clear on the issues that a lot of us are still hold the faith in the core religion issues, that there is life, death and resurrection, that the way we should live is by love and by acting for justice. But we disagree, and we respectfully disagree with the male clerics, a small group of male clerics, on some of these issues, where they continue to double down on outdated stuff. And it saddens us as parents because we're caught in this bind. We still believe there's something, a treasure, that is something of tremendous value in our religion. This thing that if you can hang on to, that there's a creator God, a savior God, a spirit of love and justice. I know it has helped me in my life. You're conscious that that treasure is there, but it's not accessible and it's not meaningful for whatever, it's obscured for some reason to my children, to our sons and daughters and to a whole new generation. And you hear so much talk about suicide and levels of anxiety and all those things that are kind of bothering people. And we as parents would believe that this treasure of religion that's in our religion, the risen Christ there, that if that was available to all people, it could be of value. I'm not saying religion is the be-all and end-all. It's one important dimension of our lives. There's lots of beautiful stuff all in our lives. But if this dimension, this treasure, which saddens me immensely that it's not available to so many people, and if that belief in Jesus and belief in God, call it, because you can talk different language, but basically you're talking about a God, a meaning to life. If that was available to more people, and if people could live, if you believed in Jesus then and lived by gospel ethics or gospel standards, it would be so much better in our society, in all the decisions made at government level, at business level, at all these levels. If people were somehow or other still found Jesus Christ meaningful and relevant, but unfortunately, and this saddens me, that whole beautiful treasure and message is obscured behind so much medieval nonsense and patriarchal stuff that is driving people away from Jesus Christ. And that is saddening, and it's to the detriment, I think, of people and society.
A lot of people have looked at this too, you know, philosophers and even neuroscientists have looked at that idea of, you know, how do you extract the sort of some of the core goodness that is in religion that gives people meaning and a sense of being loved and purpose and all that, and, you know, somehow filter that out from all of the other stuff, as you say, which just seems to obscure the message and make people think, oh, it's just about oppressing women and it's just about hating gay people and that type thing.
Well, that's specifically why the reform is needed, what I'm writing about, and obviously what the two archbishops are conscious that there is something that needs to be checked out. So that's why it's important, and I'm asking people to speak out. I'm representing my point of view in what I'm writing, but I'm asking for all good people to express their opinion and their suggestions for reform, and to get active in small groups to talk with each other. That because if we're to save anything, we do need serious reform and change. That has happened in most businesses, in most enterprises, in a lot of aspects of our society. Now, similarly, within our church.
And I guess, you know, with businesses, they respond to customer demand and so on. But, you know, the church sort of believes that it holds like a higher truth and it shouldn't just sort of respond to the demand of the day. At least that's my understanding of it. You know, that the church that weds one generation finds itself a widow in the next. You know, that kind of idea that they have to hang on to some core values.
But that's the who. It depends on who you say is church. Is it the clerics or is it the people of God? You see, you come back to that point of view, and that thing of running down the people of God. Are they baptized or not? Are they baptized in the Holy Spirit? We say all kinds of lovely words about at baptism and what and the different sacraments and encounters with Jesus, and say, the Spirit is with this people. Now, you're either serious about that or it's all mumbo jumbo. Take it to be serious that the Spirit is with us. And it's, the church is not just a small group of men. In Vatican II, we learned something new, that the church is the people of God. That it's all of us. Pope, bishops, priests, lay people, all of us together. And that a consensus led by the Spirit can emerge out of that on various issues. The male clerics were wrong for years on a whole bunch of issues, things like hatred for the Jews. That was a core teaching for too many years. And we all know the horror to which that led. So that was a core belief by a small group of men for far too long. Slavery. That was in the Bible and was approved of by the male teaching all the way up to Vatican II, way after civil rights had been won in the 60s and before that. So it all depends on what you call the core teachings. Is the core to do with love and justice and all that? Because it all depends on who's teaching and who's dictating what the core issue is. And that is crucially important.
Mm, yeah, I mean, because I suppose they might look at other religions like, you know, Protestant religions, you know, who have been more tolerant on these issues in terms of ordaining women and contraception and so on. And, you know, say, well, their numbers aren't doing so great either.
Depends on where you take the numbers from. There was an article, and I'm quoting it in the book, I'm dealing with that argument in the book. There was an article in The Economist just about 12 months ago saying that Protestantism is growing in various parts of the world. The numbers, yes, are down in England, Ireland, and in some of the West, but in parts of South America, Protestantism is growing. In Nigeria, there's, I think, 80 million Protestants. So Protestantism, in fact, is growing in certain parts of the world. But that's not the issue. The issue is to do with, because Pope John the 23rd was the one who inspired me. He said, you see, he called Vatican II because he felt we needed updating and reform. But what was also needed, according to him, was reunion of the Christian churches. Because how can I say to our children about Jesus when they can point to hundreds and hundreds of different Christian churches and say all of these are representing Jesus in different ways? There's a huge need for us to reform and change in the Catholic Church and to become more ecumenical and to come more towards reunion. And it's only when all of us together, united, act on issues. Either justice for women is either right or wrong. Just knocking it because Protestant people have tried it. You can't knock it until all of us have done the right thing, whatever it may be. We'd say, specifically on the issue of equality, justice, ordination for women. It's only when all of us, all the churches together, after maybe 100 years' time, that you can assert with any accuracy, well, it didn't work for the Protestants. See, that's the negative attitude putting down Protestantism. It's the same thing put down Luther. When Luther came up and voiced his problems with the Roman Church at the time, all of which were valid. he was shot down. They couldn't admit the problems that were there. They couldn't admit the truth. And that's at the root of so much issues everywhere. You still have it in society, say, in the Gardaí, a whistleblower says something and he's called disgusting. That's purely an echo of what the treatment given to Martin Luther 500 years ago. So it's a question of being truthful people and saying, yes, there is an issue here. We've had awful problems with indulgences and all kinds of corruption in the church in the 1300s. There's still problems. So it's not enough to say, go away, go away. The right thing to do, the Christian thing to do, is saying, yes, we have a problem. There is an issue here. Let's try to work it out together.